just want to thank you once again for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for every opportunity that you give to us. Even as we have entered into the 17th year as a church, Lord, we look forward with expectancy in our hearts. Yes, Lord, even as your servant prayed, that you would grant us speed, Lord, to fulfill all that you have spoken into our lives, to obey, to catch up, and Lord, to recover lost time and lost opportunities. Thank you once again for the year that has gone by. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We worship you, and even as we meditate upon your word this morning, speak to our hearts, renew our minds. Lord, challenge us, change our thought process. Lord, that we will begin to think the way that you want us to think. That truly the mind of Christ which you have given us will become even more manifest. Thank you, Lord, to that. And I pray that you would bless and anoint the speaking and hearing of today's word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In thinking about the kingdom of God, one of the purposes of, the quintessential purpose of salvation is to transform us back into the likeness and the image of our Creator, which we lost when we fell, in character, in nature, not necessarily in power, but our nature to be transformed more and more into the likeness of His Son. That is what He says, having predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. So in that aspect, there are several things that we've been looking at. And one of the most important aspects is the fact that God is one. God is not divided. God is not confused. He is absolutely focused in His purposes. The purposes of God will come to pass. And He's determined. He's completely given Himself to it. And we will see that in the life of Jesus. And even as we, after we have become born again, even as we grow in the kingdom of God, our focus also has to become one. That is the reason why it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, this is what He says. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Okay? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with all of your heart. See, divided people, God does not, if you're divided, the Bible says you're as good as not giving anything to God. Yeah? All to Jesus, I surrender. That has to be a prayer, and that is something which is inevitable. We know this from the life of Solomon, how Solomon, makes this judgment as to who the true mother is. And this is what he says in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 26. "Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, and she yearned with compassion," because Solomon said, divide the child. "Then, O my Lord, give her the living child." You see that? "And by no means kill him." But the other said, "Let him be neither mine nor yours." What? Divide him. You see? So when you divide a person, the person is as good as dead. And he's neither good for the kingdom, nor for the world. You see, this is a very important lesson that we need to learn. That is the reason why the whole purpose of the teaching of the church, the doctrine, is to make us whole, to make us complete, to make us people who are wholesome, that we have no divided lives. So in the aspect of division, we looked at three aspects. First, God has to make our heart one. Second, He has to make our mind one. Our eye should be single. A single eye. Okay, a single eye or an evil eye. Any eye or other vision which is divided is division. And division is an evil eye according to the kingdom of God, according to the word of God. And a third most important aspect of our lives is to make our will one. One with Him. That's what we looked at in Matthew chapter 6 in verse number 19 onwards, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. And by the way, this is a Sermon on the Mount, and we know this is essentially the manifesto of the kingdom. How does a kingdom lifestyle look like? This is what Jesus is exhorting all of us, especially his disciples. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Why? For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Therefore, we need one heart. And we looked at that couple of Sundays back. And again, the second aspect, he says, the lamp of the body is your eye. If therefore your eye is good, or your eye is single, the King James translation you will use, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad or evil, your whole body is full of darkness. Right? So we understood what it means to have a single eye or a single focus. And the third aspect in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24, this is what he says. No one can serve. This is where will comes. The most powerful aspect of your soul is your will. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot. It's impossible. The word for cannot is adunami, means you're powerless. You do not absolutely have no power to serve God and mammon. In other words, if you try to divide your power, you can't do it. It's impossible. Either you're serving God or you're serving mammon, but you can't do both at the same time. Right? So that is the reason why, you know, yesterday, if you were there in the teaching, Pastor was talking about Joshua chapter 1 verse number 8, where it says, this book of the law should not depart from your eyes, but you should meditate it day and night. So your thinking process has to change, and you have to confess it. Okay, that means your profession has to change, your confession has to change, your meditation, your confession, and your profession, which is your lifestyle, has to change. You see, your thinking, your thought process will determine what you speak, and ultimately that will determine how you behave. Your thought process, what you believe, will determine your behavior. You cannot separate the two. Okay. You need to understand. You know, one of the very dangerous ideologies, I mean, even in our own country, we have, it's an ideology which I despise also, is the RSS ideology. I mean, it's not Hinduism, it is Hindutva. Okay, it's a difference. Okay, and you need to understand that ideology, the end result of that ideology is God say. Okay. So when God said, you know, assassinated Gandhi, the RSS said, no, we don't have anything to do with him. It doesn't work. Your ideology determines what your behavior. See, the natural or the logical consequence of what you believed is what you have. Understand that? Okay, so your ideology, therefore what you thought, what you think, what you profess or what you confess and how you behave, these things matter. And therefore, our thought processes has to change. And this morning, we will look at a very important aspect of our lives, of our soul, which is our will. Okay, which is very important for the kingdom of God. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, this is what it says in Matthew chapter 6. This is the prayer of Jesus. Pastor was talking about this in the morning. This is how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. In other words, he's given us a template, a pattern as to how to pray. What should be the emphasis that we have to place on when we were praying. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Okay. As in heaven, let it be on earth. You see, this was what God, when he redeemed his people out of Egypt and he took him to the promised land, this was his entire focus. His focus was to bring heaven onto earth. I'm not saying this. This is essentially what even Moses, when he's giving his last address, which is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, to the children who will be entering into the promised land and will be inheriting the promised land of God. This is how he admonishes them. This is what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 18 onwards. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart. Lay up these words of mine. In other words, treasure these words in your heart and in your soul. And what should you do? Bind them on as a sign on your hand, meaning what you do, your work, and let them be as frontlets between your eyes, meaning your thought processes. Everything has to be centered around what God has spoken to you and revealed to us in the scripture. And he goes on to say, you shall teach them your children. How do you do that? Speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Your life has to be saturated with your family life, your every aspect of your life has to be saturated with what I've spoken to you. Then what will happen? Oh my goodness, I lost that verse. Oh. So interesting. If you can turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse number 20, if you don't mind. Just read verse number 20 for me. Then what will happen? Very, very. Yeah. Yes. Do 11:20. Yeah. Somebody can read verse number 20. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. No. Yes. So of your heart, and then as a result, what will happen? Somebody says it'll be like the days of children, the days, and which verse is that? And 21. You can put it up on the honor. 21, the verse number 21 says, your days will be like the days of what? Heaven on earth. Okay? As the days of heaven on earth. As a result of this, when you saturate your life with what the Word of God has spoken, if you center your life around the Word of God, in your hand means what? In your profession, whatever you do. Okay. In your thinking, constantly meditating upon your Word. The very first Psalm says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Many people said, I don't have time. You can make time if you do not stand in the way of sinners. Okay? If you do not, you know, waste time in all these senseless things, in the first three things, you know, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners. If you don't sit with us in the seat of the scornful, that means television and YouTube. If you don't do all these things, you know, I was listening to Derek Prince the other day. He says the very simple key to become super spiritual. How many of you want to become super spiritual? I want to be. Okay. You know what he says? Simple key to become super spiritual is change the time you spend before the television and YouTube with spending time in the Word of God. Simple. And within 21 days, you will become more super spiritual than you ever think that you will be. Just change it. Okay. So saturate your life in every aspect of your life. Then it will become what? Heaven on earth. That was the entire purpose of God, is to bring heaven down to earth. You know, remember, like Pastor says, no, we will be coming down to earth. Okay, we will be ultimately bringing in the resurrection, after the resurrection, we will be bringing down heaven upon the earth, and his rule will be over all. His throne will be established, and his rule will be established throughout this earth and throughout the entire universe. So understand. So this morning we want to ask God, Lord, make my will one. So if I want God to make my will one, I should understand what does it mean? What is the definition? How do I define the will of God? You see, definition is very important. We need to know the meaning of a word to understand what it's requiring of us. Okay, I have to do the will of God. But what does it mean to do the will of God? What is the will of God? What does it mean? What does the will of God mean? How do I define it? Right? Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. This is what it says. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and by what? Your will, they exist and were created. Okay. So this used to be the anthem that I used to make my children sing, no? Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, hast all things created, thou hast created all things, and for thy, somebody said something? Pleasure. You know, that's exactly what the King James Version uses. You see, this is what it says in the King James Bible. It says, for thy pleasure. For thy pleasure. And therefore, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? How do I define what the will of God is? Will of God, that which gives God pleasure, is the will of God. So if you want to know what the will of God is, seek to find what gives God pleasure, and therefore find it and do it. And you know what the will of God is. So see, I'll tell you something. God is not a dictator. No. You know, I remember when I was a kid, no, I watched this movie, Mr. India, no? And there's a villain called Mogambo, okay? You know, every time they do something which pleases Mogambo, they say, Mogambo, Kushua. Our God is not like that. But, you know, but there is a lesson in that. What makes our God Kush? If you can know it and you do it, if you can actually do it, you are actually the freest man on this earth. Okay. Because, you know, He created us with a purpose. And if we know what He created us for, that is the will of God. And if we do it, it gives Him pleasure. And you know what? It also has to give us pleasure. So, the will of God is what gives what? God pleasure. And that is the reason why He created all of us. So that we give Him what? Pleasure. But what did the fall do? So in order for us, people who are fallen, what happened when we fell? When we fell and Adam fell, when he fell into sin, what happened to him? This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, this is what it says. For he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Notice that. The prince of the power of the air, okay? The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, and then he goes on to say, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the what? The word for desirous pleasure. Same word, will. It comes from the Greek word thelema. Which means will. What were we doing? We were fulfilling the will of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. All of us, when we fell, we are no longer interested in doing God's will. We were living for our own pleasure. That is the reason why it says in the last days, men will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. What? Whatever, you know, they want to please, they will do. So this is our fallen condition. And therefore, if you are in the fallen condition, what is a way to come back to the will of God? This is what it says. When we were in the fallen condition, you know, who is controlling us? The power which is controlling us is the power of the prince of the power of the air. He is the one who is controlling us. Okay. We are under his influence. Okay. Our unregenerated condition is under the influence of the devil. That is the reason why he says, we are of God, my dear brothers and sisters, but the whole world lies in the what? In the sway of the evil one. The whole world is in the sway of the evil one. So if we are in this world and we in our unregenerated condition, we are people who are under the sway of the evil one. And as a result, what has happened? This is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in... No, this is not an opposition party. They are in opposition to themselves, basically. Okay? They are in opposition to themselves. For example, I'll give an example. We know that sugar is bad for children. Excessive sugar. Okay? But what do children like? Sugar. When they like sugar, who are they in opposition to? Themselves. No, what will ultimately destroy them? So whenever you choose something bad for you, okay, choose something bad for you and reject something which is good for you, what are you doing? You are in opposition to yourself. And that's the reason the King James Bible uses the word, those who are opposing themselves. Look at what it says. In humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, why? And come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You see, in fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and because we are under the influence of the prince of the power of the air, ultimately whose will are we accomplishing? The will of Satan. Okay. The will of Satan. So what is the first step? First step is repentance. You cannot change that. That is the will of God. 2 Peter chapter 3. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, 1 year is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what? Repentance. That is the will of God, that we should repent. That is the reason why Paul, when he preaches in Athens, he says, you know what? These times of ignorance, God has winked at, but now he has commanded all people everywhere to repent, because he has given assurance of this, because one day he is going to judge this world by one man, Christ Jesus, and he has given evidence of this by raising him from the dead. And when they heard the word raising from the dead, some mocked, some said, you know, we will hear about it some other time, but some clung to Paul and they believed. So this is the will of God. What is that? What is the will of God? What is the will of God? That we all repent of our sins. And the second part of that will is that we put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is the will of God. Look at what it says in John's Gospel chapter 6. And everybody say that. Say this. This is the will. Okay. This is the will of him who sent me. That everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have what? Everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. That all of us should put our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Simple. Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose from the third day to justify me according to the scriptures. And if I put my trust completely upon the death, burial and the resurrection of Jesus, I am saved. And what will happen? All your sins are what? Forgiven. Boy. Well, that's the reason why. The four friends, no? When they bring the paralytic man to Jesus, Jesus looks at their faith and the first thing he says, what does he say? How does he address him? Son. Bah, what a word, no? Son. Meaning, son, your sins are forgiven you. All of us till that time, we were orphans. Because in Adam, we were rejected. We were all sent away from the garden, and we were all rejected. And the first thing Jesus looks at him and he says, son, that word might have pierced his heart. Who calls me son? Who calls me? Son. Okay. Your sins have been forgiven you. They're all shocked. Then he said, who can forgive sins except God? And he says, you know what? Just to prove to you, that the Son of Man has got authority to forgive sins. I'm going to look at this man and say, pick up your mat and walk. You know what? The evidence that he picked up his mat and he walked, what is that evidence? That his sins have been what? Forgiven. And if you confess your sins, God is faithful to forgive you. All. Everybody say all. All of your sins. So take time. Okay. In this next 7 days, even as we enter into a voluntary fast, there is a lot of debris inside of all of us that we have accumulated over a period of time. Unconfessed debris. Where we have put it under the carpet and put the carpet over it and said everything is normal. Okay. And you know, people, especially women in the home, they have OCD. Obsessive compulsive disorder, no? What do they do? They will go to the corners and they will say dust there, dust there, dust there, dust there. We have accumulated dust everywhere. It's just like the way they have OCD towards dust in the home, you should have OCD towards unconfessed sin. Okay. Everlasting life. So, that is the will of God. So, that is the reason why he says, when one sinner repents, what is there? Party in heaven. What is happening? Pleasure. Pleasure in heaven. One sinner when he repents. So will of God. What is the will of God? That which gives God pleasure. So first step. That which gives God pleasure. In fulfilling the will of God, therefore, after we have become born again believers and we have entered into the kingdom of God, we have been born of God. This is the will of him, that if we believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, what will happen? We will also be born of that incorruptible seed and we will enter into the kingdom of God as his sons and as his daughters. Now, once we have entered, that is only the first step, Chandana. మొదటి మెట్టులోనే నీకు తెలుస్తుంది. యూ పుట్ సెంటర్ స్టాండ్, నో సెంటర్ స్టాండ్ ఇన్ అవర్ స్కూల్, నో చిల్డ్రన్ వెన్ దే పుట్ సైడ్ స్టాండ్ లైక్ దిస్ అండ్ సెంటర్ స్టాండ్. సెంటర్ స్టాండ్ వైల్ లిస్నింగ్, సైడ్ స్టాండ్ వైల్ డూయింగ్. హౌ ఇంట్రెస్టెడ్ దే ఆర్. దట్ ఈస్ ద రీజన్ ఆఫ్ ద బైబుల్ సేస్ ఇన్క్లైన్ యువర్ ఇయర్. ఇన్ వాట్ ఇంక్లినేషన్ మీన్స్ ఇదర్ యూ సిట్ అట్ 90 degrees or at 60 degrees. 45 also is bad. Okay. Prostrate, don't. Prostrate before God. But while hearing? Okay. Children are laughing, no? This is what happens when you teach math and geometry especially. So first, therefore, the first aspect after we enter into the kingdom of God. Very important principle in order for us to know the will of God and to do the will of God. Very important attitude that we need to practice and inculcate. This is what it says. Submission, not profession. Submission, not profession. If my profession word is wrong, spelling is wrong, please forgive me, okay? I don't have... spelling correct here. And in this slide, in this template, I don't know. There's no autocorrect. Anyway. Submission. Just not profession. What does it mean? In Matthew chapter 7, this is what it says. Not everyone, what is the emphasis? Who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. But he who what? Does the will of God. Of my father. Okay? So, if God is your father, okay? What is important? It is important that you do the will of God and just not call him what? Lord, Lord. Say. Why? Next verse he says, many will say to me, again it's a say, in that day, Lord, Lord, meaning what? This is just not one Lord. Lord, Lord is a double emphasis. You're verily my Lord. In other words, verily, verily, I say it unto you. You're truly my Lord. Okay. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? What you practice is completely different from what you professed. Okay. But then what you practiced is totally different. That is the reason why Jesus, when the disciples came back to Jesus and they said, Jesus, Master, even the demons are subject to us in your name. You know what Jesus said? Don't be so happy about the fact that demons are subject to you, but be more happy about the fact that your names have been written in the book of life. Okay? So, that is the reason in a lot of people's life, there is a, what do you say, there is a complete contrast in what they say and what they do. That's what I said. It's not your profession, it's your submission to do the will of God. That is what is important. Because many people say a lot of things, but they do completely the opposite. For example, I'll give you a few examples from the scripture. This is what it says in 1 John. Everybody say, 1 John chapter 1 verse 6. We say that we have what? Fellowship. With whom? With him. You know the word what fellowship means? We know the word fellowship. We've heard several years, several months, several weeks back. Pastor James told us the Greek word for fellowship. What is it? Anybody remembers? Excuse me? Ayo, children, how so quickly it disappears from your mind. Koinonia. Oh, okay. So when I say those things, that will come to your mind. Huh? Koinonia. You know what the word koinonia means? Actually, the word for koinonia means to have something common with. You understand? To have something common with. See, this happens in friendship. See, C.S. Lewis wrote a very famous book called The Four Loves. He talks about the love for a father towards a son. That's called storge. Okay. He talks about the love of, you know, God towards his people, which is agape, which is unconditional. Okay. And he talks about the love of the wife towards her husband, husband towards the wife, which is eros. And there's a third kind of love, or the fourth kind of love. It is called filio. Filio means what? The love between friends. You know how people become friends? Because they have something common. In husband and wife relationship, oh, you look so nice, so handsome, and it is about you. You are such a nice person, etc., etc. The focus is the other individual. But in friendship, the focus is neither. The focus is something which you commonly like. Okay, hurry. Like for example, you know how David and Jonathan became friends? Their souls were knit together because they had the same, you know, outlook towards life. This uncircumcised Philistines, that's what Jonathan said. These uncircumcised Philistines, that's what David said. That's how they looked at things, and that something which is common brought them together and they became friends. That is the reason why Jesus tells his disciples, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends because you have been with me. Of course, by this time, Judas is gone. Why? Because between Judas and Jesus, there is nothing which is common. You understand what I'm talking about? Nothing which is common. Therefore, he says, if we say that I have something in common with God, you understand? If I have something in common with God and I do it exactly the opposite, what am I doing? I'm lying. I'm walking in darkness. Okay. So, in other words, fellowship with God will transform you like God. That is the reason why he says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what? Fellowship. In other words, what is there which is common between a believer and unbeliever? With the son of God and a son of the devil. Between darkness and light. Between righteousness and unrighteousness. There's something which is not, this is chalk and cheese. Okay? Fellowship, that which is common. A lot of people, I mean, even in Jesus had fellowship with his disciples, and therefore slowly they were being transformed little by little, you know, especially even after resurrection, more by the power of the Holy Spirit, they're being transformed slowly into the likeness of the Son. Because they were having fellowship with God. You see, problem is many people have fellowship but they don't change. Because that is not fellowship. They don't have anything in common. For example, 600,000 men came out of Egypt. I believe only Joshua and Caleb had fellowship with Moses. And there was something common between them. Okay? And if you come to Elisha and Elijah, there were so many sons of the prophets. But Elijah and Elisha, they had fellowship. And there was something which was common between them. Elisha had a Gehazi, nothing common. Nothing common. I mean, think about it. You're living with a man of God who hates money, but you are a man who loves money. Nothing common. It's amazing, no? You can stay with a man of God and nothing of his nature rubs onto you. It's funny. And then he runs after Naaman and he gets his double portion. Because Naaman gives double portion. What is the double portion? Oh, you want only one? You take two. Two pairs of clothes. You want only one talent of silver? Take two talents. He gets his double portion from Naaman. And he comes back and he hides as if nothing has happened. And he comes and stands before his master. And the master looks at him and says, Gehazi, where have you been? Your servant went nowhere. Your servant went nowhere. And you know what Elisha says? Gehazi, did not my spirit go with you when you were running after Naaman? Is it the time for you to earn wealth for male servants, with donkeys, for property, etc., etc.? You know? In other words, Naaman, Elisha was saying, I know your five-year plan. Pancha Varsha Pranalika. I know it. Very, very clear. In 5 years, this is what you want to become. Nothing has, fellowship has not changed. There's nothing common. What is common between Naaman and Gehazi is love for money. Therefore, what was common between them? He was a leper. He also became a leper. That is the common. So what is fellowship? That is the reason why having, you know, evil company corrupts what? Good manners. Your company is very important. So, what defines fellowship therefore is what you think, common things that you are interested in. They, what is it, assembled together daily first what? For the apostles' doctrine. So they were thinking alike and therefore after that what? Fellowship. We say fellowship, but we walk in what? Darkness. And again, another confession. This is what it says in 1 John chapter 2 verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, what does it say? He who says, I know him and does not keep my commandments. What is he? He's a liar. You're saying and you practice. Another place. Again, 1 John chapter 2 verse number 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. See that? Must. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother. You see? The difference between profession and confession. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother. He is, chapter B is 420. That is 1 John 420. You see that? I love God and hates his brother. He is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love? And this is the commandment we have from him. That he who loves God must love his brother also. And therefore, your confession and your practice has to match. Therefore he says, Luke's Gospel chapter 6, verse number 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I... You see, again you say Lord, Lord, but you do not do it. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. How is he like? He is a man who has built his house, dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock. Let me tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, as Pastor said, God is giving us time. Dig deep. Make your foundation on the rock strong and firm. Because times will come. And everything that can be shaken in your life will be shaken. Everything. Everything will be shaken. So those things which cannot be shaken will remain. And what is those things which cannot be shaken? Only that which is the will of God. That will abide forever. That is the reason he says, the world and its passions are passing away, but he who does the will of God, what does he do? Abides forever. He stays forever. He stays forever. And therefore it is saying and doing is so different. So, and you know what? If we say and do not do, as I told you, some other power is influencing us. It's not the power of God. I am not saying this. This is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? You know what? Whenever they used to offer sacrifices in the old covenant, the Bible says he used to smell the sacrifices, and it used to be what? A sweet smelling aroma in his. That means the offering gave God what? Pleasure. But what is the actual offering that gives God pleasure? Look at what he says. As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Okay? And to heed than the fat of rams. That is what true sacrifice that God loves and has pleasure in. Okay? In any meat, what you like the most is the one which has a lot of fat. Right? Okay? You're watching me. That's what he says. That is something which gives God pleasure. Fat of rams. Look at what he says. Next verse. For rebellion, exactly the opposite, is a sin of what? Witchcraft. What empowers you now is no longer the Spirit of God, obedience. What does the Bible say? God gives his Spirit to those who obey him. Okay. God gives his Spirit to those who obey him. Acts chapter 5 verse number 32, if I'm right. God gives his Spirit to those who obey him. But if you do not obey, what empowers you is witchcraft. It's a different spirit, which is there in our flesh. All of us, one of the works of the flesh, the Bible says, is witchcraft and idolatry and sorcery. It's there. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. And you know, immediately how Saul responds. This is a very sad state of affairs for Saul. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. You know, he's confessing. But you know, there's a confession which is not a confession at all. There's a lot of confession which is not a confession. I have sinned, but whenever you use a but, it's gone. It's over. They made me do it. That's not a confession. So if he says that we have no sin, we lie. We lie. If we continue this way, what empowers us is the spirit of witchcraft. Okay? So first thing, God looks at submission in all of our lives. One of the things that he looks at, children, if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you know, what is the power of God? Is the grace of God. If you want the true grace of God over your life, one thing, submit to your parents. Okay? Obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. Submit to your parents as long as you are in your home. And if they are godly parents, you have an incredible heritage. Submit to them, love them, and be loyal to them. Seek what gives your father and mother pleasure. What pleases them. Okay. Do it. You see, do it. That is what will of God means. That which gives what? God pleasure. So, parable of the two sons in Matthew chapter 21. This is what he says. But what do you think? A man had two sons and he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, what did he do? He regretted or he changed his mind and he went. Then he came to the second son and said, he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. He said, I will go. But he did exactly the opposite. What does the Bible say? Which of the two, what? Did the will of God. They all knew the answer, the first. But the problem is, you don't repent. So the first thing, the first important attitude that we have to work on in our lives is submission. Obedience. You know, submission and obedience. Maybe very strange words to you. But if you submit, you are the most free man on earth. Submit to God and resist the devil and evil one flee from you. If you want to be free from demonic oppression in your life, submit to God. And you will have the power to resist the devil. In submitting to God, submit to your parents. Submit to your elders in the church. Submit to the word of God. Most importantly, submit to the Lordship of the Spirit. Ask the Lord. Inquire of the Lord. Don't do anything that comes to your mind. And later on you will correct it. No, it's not going to work like that. You cannot correct it. Sometimes it will be beyond you. You see, we are free to make our choices. But we are not free to choose the consequences for our choices. You need to understand that. Okay. First thing, therefore, submit. And just not say, but submit. Second point. In doing the will of God, you should develop an attitude of what? Gratitude and not compulsion. Okay. Gratitude. The first sin of mankind, according to Romans chapter 1. For although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. The downward slide in the human race starts, you know why? Because we have a bunch of ingratitude people. Okay. Think about it. We have Mother's Day, Father's Day, etc. Are you grateful, really, truly? One day you will celebrate. What? Huh? Gratitude to your father. Gratitude to your mother. Especially those people who have truly sacrificed and invested into your lives. Or you think, you know, after all, they gave me birth. It's their duty. No. See, that's exactly what happened to Israel. The Bible says, Jeshurun waxed fat and he started kicking. He stopped being grateful. Ephesians chapter 6. How do we practice? How do we develop this attitude of gratitude? Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 6. This is what it says. Bond servants, software engineers especially, okay? Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Because every software engineer will say, Baba, my manager is a damager, etc., etc., etc. Look at what he says. Not with eye service as men's pleasers, but as what? Bond servants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart. Now this is a very, very strange construction. You have become a what of Christ? A bond servant of Christ. Now in becoming the bond servant of Christ, what are you doing actually? You're doing the will of God from the heart. Whatever the will of God is. If you have to submit to a manager who is really, really tough and who gets onto your nerves. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. Not to those people who are good to you only, but also to those people who are not very good to you. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. How should you be like that? With what? Fear and trembling. Bond servants of Christ. How? Doing the will of God. See, so in order to do the, who is a bond servant therefore? What is a bond servant? How do we define a bond servant? The definition of bond servant is important. You see, the theory is given to us in the New Testament, but you'll see the practice, you'll see the types of it given in the Old Testament. This is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 15 about bond servants, a type of a sinner. This is what it says. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you how many years? 6 years. You know, 6 is the number of man. We were all people who are sold to sin. Okay. It's a type. Then, in the 7th year, you should let him go free. And when you send him away, free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. See, when we came to Jesus, we were all, it's a type, okay? Just a type, okay? It's not a perfect type, it's a type. We were all people who are sold under sin, slaves to sin. We were doing the will of the devil. And he is a hot taskmaster, and we are sick and tired of it, and God came and set us free on the seventh year. That's the year of Jubilee. He came and set us free. In his son, he paid the penalty of our sin. For this reason, the Son of Man has been manifested to destroy the works of the devil. So he set us free. When we trusted Jesus Christ, we were free from the bondage of sin, from the clutches of the enemy, and from the bondages and the influences of this world. What happens after that? You know what Jesus does? He lets you go free. You're free. Now you have to choose to love me. You know what happens next? If you shall supply him liberally. That's what he did. He supplied us liberally. How did Jesus forgive us? Liberally. Completely. Whenever we came and said, Jesus, forgive my sins. Liberally forgiven. Nothing against you. And then what happens? And if it happens now, that he says to you, I will not go away from you because he loves you. You see? And your house, since he prospers you. He prospers with you. What happens? Then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your, what? Servant forever. Also you shall do likewise to a female servant. This is the principle of a bond servant. Why does a bond servant want to stay back with his master? Because he, what? Loves him. Why? Because he forgave him so freely. It's absolute God. I am grateful to you for what you have done. I am grateful. Okay. This is love. This is absolute gratitude. And when we lose gratitude in our life, you know what happens? Christian life becomes very dreary. There's no joy. Because you know why? Because we have lost gratitude. And therefore, how should we enter into the presence of God? Enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving in your heart. And you know what? You should give a million thanks to God. Let us give a few thanks to God right now, because we owe him thanks anyway. Say, let everybody raise your hands and thank him. In your own words, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation. Thank you, Father, for breaking the bondage of sin. Thank you, Father, for giving me a spiritual family. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Say thanks. When you start saying thanks, you know what happens? Automatically there will be joy. Lord, people, you know why they struggle in their lives? Because they have forgotten to give thanks. Thank your father and mother. Thank God for your parents. Thank God for your church. You know what Paul always does? He does not only thank God for God and the salvation. He says, I thank God for you. He thanks God for his church. I thank you. If you look at his life, he starts with thanksgiving, he ends with thanksgiving, 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 thanksgiving. That is the reason why he says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, to give him thanks. How many times? Always. Always. So what happens now? This guy says, you know what, Lord? My life belongs to you. That is the reason why every time Paul starts his letter, you know what he says? Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Incidentally, I was called to be an apostle. But what am I? Bond servant. How does Revelation start? Revelation starts, God has given this revelation to his bond servant John, so that he can pass on that revelation to other bond servants in Christ. See, who are these bond servants? They're grateful. They're grateful. You know what? We are starting a new year, 17th year. Let us be thankful for what God has done for us in our lives. Gratitude. If we forget gratitude, my dear brothers and sisters, it is the first slide. It's a slippery slope. One of the things that Israelites never did. Giving thanks. Manna, what is this? Okay. Every time complaining. So when God gave them even food, which is like meat, you know, did they ever thank God? No. Thank you, Lord, for giving me meat today. No. They ate to the full. It came through their nostrils and they died. Remarkable. You know why? Ingratitude. And one guy who was thankful a lot in the entire bunch was Moses. Always thanking, thanking, thanking. You know why? Because he was closest to God. He knew the holiness of God. When he knew the holiness of God, he knew that he has to die. But you know what? God was sparing him every time he entered into the presence of God. He said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You did not kill me. You did not destroy me. You did not destroy me. You did not destroy me. You extended your mercy toward me. 10 lepers on the journey. They all cry out. One of them is a Samaritan. They said, son of David, have mercy upon us. And he says, go and show yourself to the priest. And even as they go, they are what? Healed. One comes back, prostrates before Jesus. And Jesus looks, you know what? That is what Jesus was looking for. That is what gives God pleasure. One man who came back to Jesus and said, thank you. You know why? I'll tell you why. One reason, one of the number one reasons, because everybody else in that ten had access to the priest except the Samaritan, because the Samaritan cannot enter into the temple. So he might be like, he's just going by faith. His heart in his mouth, what will happen if the priest discovers that I'm a Samaritan? He would probably throw me out. But even as he's going, he's healed. He says, Lord, I do not deserve this. And he comes back. And he thanks him. You know what Jesus says? Your faith has made you what? Complete whole. Gratitude. First attitude, therefore. Submission. And not profession. Second, gratitude. Third attitude. Love and loyalty because I'm family. Love and loyalty because I'm family and therefore I don't work for a salary. That's what I wanted to write, but then I didn't write. Okay. Okay. Love and loyalty because I'm family and therefore I don't work for a salary. Somebody was telling me this last week, you know, I have your paycheck with me. I said, Lord, paycheck, Lord. No. No, Lord, I don't work for a salary. I don't work for a salary. Love and loyalty because I'm what? Family. Matthew chapter 6. This is what he says. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will be what? Loyal to the one and despise the other. You see love and loyalty going together? This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. For yet a little while, for he who is coming will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. You know what the word faith is? Faith comes from the Greek word pistis, which actually means to be loyal. Okay. For now the just shall live by his what? His loyalty. Okay. Neither circumcision matters, nor uncircumcision matters. What matters is what? Faith expressing itself through what? Through love. And therefore it says, but if anyone draws back, my soul shall not what have? Pleasure in. And what is the will of God? We said that which God gives what? God pleasure. And therefore I said love and loyalty because I'm family. Look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 3 about Jesus. Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. For a testimony of these things which you would be spoken after. Which would be spoken after. But Christ as a son. That is the reason why when he went to the temple, he was there engrossed in the discussion with the scribes and the Pharisees. And the parents came and asked him, what are you doing, son? They said, why are you searching for me? Don't you know that I should be about my father's business? My father's business. You know, Paul, powerful statement. He says, what is my wages? What is my salary? You know what Paul's salary is? The opportunity to preach the gospel free of cost is my salary. Hello? The opportunity to preach the gospel free of charge is my salary. I remember, I mentioned this so many times back. Edward Williams Aigaru. How many of you know Edward Williams Aigaru? He's a very famous man of God in the Telugu field. Telugu ministry among the Telugus. In his testimony, one of his messages, he talks about his testimony as to how he got a job with CBN. He was working for CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. So after the interview, only so many people were shortlisted, and after the entire interview process is over, last two people, one brother and this man, Edward Williams, were left. So the interview was with Pat Robertson, the son of Pat Robertson. Okay, that was a final interview. So everything was over, and Pat Robertson looked at Edward and he looked at him and he said, okay, fine, everything's fine. So what are you expecting? And you know what it means, you know, when you go to a HR company, when you're interviewed for a company, they'll ask you what they're expecting from. Sir, the previous company paid us this much. I'm expecting at least 30 to 50% more. Okay, that is how you negotiate with HR. Then Edward Williams looked at Pat Robertson and he said, what do you mean? He said, what are your expectations? And he immediately understood. He said, you know what? You're giving me a platform to be a television anchor. And you are giving me a platform so that I can reach out to millions of people. Even if I have to do it for free, I'll take it. Because that opportunity is my salary. You know what? When I heard that, I was shocked. Pat Robertson was shocked. He said, I've never met a man like this. And he said, the policy in our company is that every 5 years we have to change the anchor. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm giving you this offer. As long as you want to work with CBN, you work. Where are the people like that? Understand? You know why? We are part of God's family. Okay? Love and loyalty, because I am family. I remember when I came to the ministry, my mission trip was to a church in one part of Hyderabad, one part of Telangana, you know, in Warangal, of course, Warangal, with old church, 150-year-old church. They invited me for a youth meeting. I went to the youth meeting. They were all touched. They said, we have a youth Sunday coming up. The senior pastor was there in the youth meeting. Okay. Then he said, do you have a youth Sunday coming up? Please, can you come and share during the youth Sunday as well? I said, okay, for sure, I'll come. And the youth Sunday came. They came and received me at the station and, you know, etc. They put me up in a hotel and all the jazz. I was just fresh into the ministry. Just came to full time. And I was escorted to the altar, to the dais. And the senior pastor was seated already. And this usher came and asked me to take the seat next to the pastor. I sat to the pastor. Worship is going on. And he comes and whispers in my ear, you're a pastor somewhere? I said, yes, sir. How much do they pay you? I was shocked. I've never heard anything like that in my life. How much do they pay you? You know why? Loyalty. Can you be bought? Can you be purchased? What's your price? 30 pieces of silver? At least you could have asked for $1 million minimum. 30 pieces of silver you sold, Jesus Christ. And what will happen? Akel Dama. A field of blood. I mean, whenever I read that Akel Dama in Acts chapter 1, his entrails came out. You know why? He never was family. He was a son of perdition, the Bible says. Because there was nothing common between him and God. Faithful. Loyal. You know why? Because why? To give God pleasure is an opportunity for me. And therefore I'm loyal to him. Find one loyal guy like that in a church. That man will be a testimony for generations to come. Because you know, people are so fickle. So fickle. They are not sure about anything. I mean, I'll tell you so many things in my own life, no? When I was doing my PhD in IIIT, I got an offer from a company, you know. And that guy was paying me very well. Okay. But he was so sure. And then my prof looked at me and he said, Vijay, I can't pay you much. But you know, Vijay, the pleasure of problem solving. You will never get it in any other company. People are putting their heads down. Sister Tabitha sent me a forward. She said, why is the math book very sad? Because it has got a lot of problems. Problem number one, problem number two, problem number three. So math book is very, very sad. So what we have in our school also, whenever they give them math, they will say, problem. Their face is also very sad. And you know what my prof said? He said, Vijay, I may not be paying you much, but the joy of problem solving, the pleasure that you kick out, that you get out of problem solving, you'll never get it in a company. Your choice. Think about it. Okay. That is the reason why you should do the job that you love. Not the job that gives you money. Primarily. Dhanam moolam idam jagat. That is only in this jagat. In the jagat to come, there is no dhanam. That is not moolam at all. Family. Matthew chapter 12. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. You know why? Because they left everything to follow me. The Bible says in Mark's Gospel chapter 1, James and John, right, are brothers. The Telugu is very interesting. In the Telugu, Jesus calls them, the Bible says, they left the nets and their father with the hirelings. With the hirelings and followed Jesus. With the hirelings. He stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here is my mother. Here are my brothers. Why? Look at how he defines the family. Whoever does the will of my father, who gives God pleasure, he is my mother. He is my brother. He is my family. He is my family. So what is the first thing? Submission. And just not profession. Second, gratitude and not compulsion. Third, love and loyalty, because this family is my family. Okay? Because I am family. Fourth one, delight and just not duty. Delight and just not duty. Although it is a duty, but it is great if your duty becomes your delight. You understand? I give you this example. No? In my home, I do not have to tell my children to read books at all. Because they delight. So let me just phrase it, according to the scripture. John's Gospel chapter 7, verse number 17, this is what it says. If anyone... What is that? Wills to do his will. In other words, when doing his will, that is, that which gives what? God pleasure becomes his what? Pleasure. You understood, no? When doing that which pleases God becomes your pleasure, then that becomes what? A delight. I told you, no? My children are never compelled to read at all. They just read indiscriminately. They enjoy. But when the day comes, I told you, no? When they go to the library and say C.S. Lewis to the side and Hollow Knight into their hands. You know what? My duty is to do the will of my father. Now it is not my duty anymore. It is my delight to do the will of my father. They become children after my own heart. So that is when everything changes. When to do his pleasure becomes your. Actually, that is when you are truly free. When you, what you do is actually good for you, then you are actually truly free. You understand what I'm saying? When you have to do, you do it because it is, and it is already which is good for you, you are actually free. If anyone, that is the reason why Jesus was the freest man on earth. You know why? Because he says, my will is to do nothing except my Father's will. Free! And whenever I see the joy on my Father's face, that gives me joy. And therefore, when Jesus comes out of the waters of baptism, you know what the Bible says? This is my beloved Son in whom I am what? Well pleased. Well pleased. I told you, no? Loyalty. And faithfulness. And love. Well done, my good and faithful, loyal servant. Enter into my joy. Do you delight? Or is it, that's the reason why worship should not be a compulsion. Reading the word should not be a compulsion. Nothing should be a compulsion. In Christianity, there is no compulsion. That is the reason why even 1 Peter chapter 5 will say, he says, you know what, when you're called to the ministry, it should not be out of compulsion. It should be a willing sacrifice. There could be a lot of apprehension, but when you're coming, there's no compulsion. Don't come for filthy lucre's sake. That is how he defines money. What money? What is money called? Filthy lucre. And I don't know the meaning of it, by the way. What does lucre mean? I don't know. And how it is filthy also. At the same time, he's defining lucre to be filthy. Adjective of a lucre is what? Filthy. Don't do it for filthy lucre's sake. But as what? As servants of Christ. Do it with joy. So he says, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him, that is the reason why Moses is a defining character in the Old Testament. He says, Lord, all these blessings, no. You know why? If you give me these blessings, you will not get glory to your name. And therefore, anything which does not give glory to your name, I don't want in my life. You know why? Because it doesn't please you. So, it is not pleasing you. It's bringing a bad name to you. And therefore, anything which brings a bad name to you, I don't want it. I don't want it. And therefore, he says no. He said no to the pleasures of Egypt. He said no to the pleasures of sin. And he also said no to God. Can you believe that? You know, that is the reason why after this entire catch of 137 big fish, right? 137 big fish in John's Gospel chapter 21. The question that Jesus asks Peter, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me what? More than what? This catch. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Okay. When anything to do his will becomes your will, it becomes a delight. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, this is talking about Jesus. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices of sin, you have no pleasure. You see that? Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book of that is written of me. Psalm 40 says, actually adds the word, I delight to do your will. Okay? What pleases God if it gives you pleasure? Then it is ultimate in your life. You have arrived. So first thing, tell me again, everybody. Repeat. What is that? Submission, not just profession. Second, gratitude and not compulsion. Third, love and loyalty because I am family. Fourth, delight and just not duty. Then what happens? The fifth stage. After it becomes delight. Okay. After it becomes delight. We have a student in our school, no? That guy solved the Rubik's Cube by himself. Okay. By himself, all by himself. 4x4, 3x3. So he started enjoying it. Now he solves the 5x5. If you give him the 10x10 also, he will solve. You know why? The next step is pursuit. What is that? You pursue God. You know why? Because you want to know more about Him. You hunger for more. That is the reason why He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness. They shall be what? Satisfied. Derek Prince makes a powerful statement in his study about Romans. He says, I've seen many, many people in Christendom who thirst and hunger after healing, after spiritual gifts, after, you know, whatever offices, etc., etc., etc. But very few people in Christendom who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who say with all of their heart, Lord, I will not be satisfied unless and until I become righteous. Pursuit. Let me give you an example. And when he removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, man after, you know what after means? He's running after my heart. He's pursuing what is there in my heart. I want to know, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know. What does he do? He will do what? All my will. In other words, he's not going to be satisfied with little things. He wants to know the entire thing. You know why I'll tell you this? Because the will of God is a mystery. It has to be revealed progressively. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 1 about the will of God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse number 9. Now having made known to us the what? The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. You see it again? According to his good pleasure, he made us known to us the mystery of his will. So the mystery of the will has to be a revelation. Slowly God brings into light more and more and more and more things. That is a prayer of Moses. So he says, Lord, I want to know your ways. You know what God says? My presence will go with you and I will give you. In other words, it is impossible for you have to pursue it daily. It has to be a daily walk. Okay. Told you, no? Is this much enough? Like people come to my class and say, sir, how many assignments I should do to get pass mark? And I look at him and I say, please don't attend my course. And I gave F grade to one fellow also. Because he wanted just pass. And he came and did a lot of song and dance before me. I said, sir, this, sir, that. I said, sorry. You know why? You had to pursue the subject because you love it. Not because you want to get a grade. There's a mystery of his will. And therefore, what should we do? In Colossians chapter 1, yesterday, like, Pastor was talking about this. He says, Second Peter chapter 3 verse number 18. What does it say? Second Peter chapter 3 verse number 18. We should all what? Grow in the grace and knowledge of God. We also have to grow in something else as well. In Colossians chapter 1, this is what it says in verse number 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with what? With the knowledge of his will. Do you see that? It's a pursuit. That is the reason why. Be careful as to how you hear, because if you hear the right way, God will give you more. Okay? And if you obey it, God will give you even more. But if you are not careful as to how you hear, whatever is given to you also will be what? Taken away from you. Taken away. So for this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Especially, I mean, we know generally what is the will of God. For all of us, we know. This is the will of God, our sanctification. This is the will of God that we have to give thanks in all situations. This is the will of God that we have to submit to every authority that God has placed under. We know the general will of God. All of us know. And even as we do the general will of God, progressively we'll be increasing in the knowledge of the will of God. It becomes a pursuit for us now. It's just not pursuing God. It is pursuing what gives him pleasure. I'll give an example. David is in his tent, like this, tired, okay, tired from battle. Three of his armed guards are round the corner, okay, and David's like, oh Lord, I'm so thirsty. I wish somebody would get me that waters from Bethlehem, like Pastor was talking about, no water from Kerala. He was saying, I was drinking and drinking and drinking. I want to taste that water, Pastor. I will go to taste that water, no? I have tasted everything. I want to. He said, oh Lord, that water from Bethlehem, Lord. Three of those fellows heard. You know why? They were close to David. They want to pursue David. They want to know what the will of David is. Three of those fellows. That is the reason I say there were so many mighty men of David. There's a bifurcation of the mighty men of David. But these three were separate. Peter, James, John. They saw Jesus in the mountain of transfiguration. You know why? They were pursuing Jesus. After him. God knows. So three of those fellows, they heard. They go through the Philistine territory risking their lives. And they bring that water. And give it to David. Master, I know this gives you pleasure. David is shocked. Because he never found. That is the reason why he says, this was also a mighty man. This was also a mighty man, but these three were separate. This was also a mighty man, but these three were separate. Separate, separate, separate. You know why? Because they were after the heart of David. They were after the heart of David. What are you after? Are you after the heart of God? You know, what is God after? He is after. His heart is for souls. What satisfies God is souls, my dear brothers and sisters. What satisfies his hunger is souls. Therefore, you know what he says? This woman, who's a Samaritan woman, he ministers to her. He sends all these 11 disciples to buy bread. And they bring back bread. And Master, they said, please eat. You know what Jesus says? I have food that you do not know of. My food is to what? Do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And they're shocked. They said, what is your food, Baba? What is your food? My Lord, my Master, my Father wants souls. He wants many, 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 many children to come into his kingdom. And that is what I'm after. That satisfies God. That gives him pleasure. And therefore I'm after souls. Mm-hmm. It's a pursuit. Do you pursue God like that? Do we pursue God? You know, when you really, really love your parents, when you want to put a smile on their face, that is when you have actually loved. When you put a smile on their face, this is what I want to do. I want to put a smile on my parents' face. I remember, you know, the first time when I was converted, my parents are not here. I was converted. I came back home. I cleaned up the house, pick and span. My parents were not home. And my dad and mom just walked inside and they looked at the house and they looked at me and they had a smile. What happened to you, Vijay? How come the house is so neat? You know what? I want to see a smile on their face now. I'm not doing it out of duty. I do it because it puts a smile. That is the reason why Jesus says he despised the shame. He embraced the cross. You know why? Because of the joy that was set before him. It was not a bride that he was looking for. He wants to see the smile on his father's face. That is what he was after. That gives him joy. That is pursuit. Have this different mindset, my dear brothers and sisters. Will of God, will run. Everybody is like this. No, will of God. We never say will of God. We all shrink. Like armadillo. Okay? We shrink like that. Will of God. If you really delight in the will of God, you will pursue. Pursue. What satisfies God will satisfy you. Romans chapter 12, this is what it says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And that's what happened to the three disciples in the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, they were given a taste of what it is to be on the other side. You know why? Because they were after Jesus' heart. They loved Jesus more than the others. They were after him. You'll see Peter, James, and John. So, other disciples, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. You see that? That bifurcation all the time? What kind of a disciple you want to be? In that inner circle, let me tell you, it is not very, very comfortable to be in the inner circle of God. Because it comes at a great cost. Lord, I also wanted to see you face to face, okay? You can see me first face to face, but if you fall once, you will be disqualified. Are you okay with that? Mm-hmm. Because you know the master's will and you did not do it, what will happen to you? More stripes. Uh-huh. So do not be conformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable. You know what proving is? You know, we know that song, Trust and Obey. There's a stanza in that. It says, we can never prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, or for those who will trust and obey. We will never prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. We start tasting and say, whoa, 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 this is amazing. This is fantastic. Your palates have been, it's an acquired taste, by the way. And after that, anything which is unhealthy, you taste it, you will spew it out of your mouth. You know why? Because you have tasted that which is good. You have proved it. You have proved it. That is the reason why the Bible says, as newborn babies, what? Desire the pure milk, sincere milk. I love what Sammy told me about his Lemuela. He said, Pastor, my Lemuela does not want any more formula. She wants only mama's milk. I said, Sammy, that is a godly newborn baby. You know why? No more formula. She wants sincere milk, not insincere formula. Sincere. Why? Desire the sincere sincere milk of the word of God so that you may grow in your salvation. If indeed you have what? Tasted that the Lord is good. You have tasted him now. The goodness of God. That has led you to repentance. Now that taste. You know what? Ruchi margeo. Telugulo. You are now wanting that taste more and more. You know why? Because you discover different aspects of the taste. Because the infiniteness of God. You want to pursue him. It becomes a delight. So what happens? You will start from the good. You will go to the acceptable. And what happens? You will end up with the perfect. But there is a pursuit. Okay. So, let us review again. Ha Okay. Abigail Astarita Kotak, you can help me. Tell me, what is the first one? Submission and not? Profession. And then? What is that? Can't hear you. Gratitude and not? Compulsion. Yeah. Third? Love and loyalty because I'm family. Third? Delight, fourth, delight and not duty. Fifth, pursuit. Sixth one. For all this, there's something which you need to do. which many of us don't like. What is that? A mindset to suffer and willingness to pay the price. Ah, that is important. A mindset to suffer. You can't love the world also and love God also at the same time. Impossible. You're what? You're dipsychos. Dipsychos means double-minded. You're unstable in all your ways. And therefore you'll receive what? Nothing. How much? Nothing from the Lord. Like, you know, children, when they ask you to, what are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? Nothing. I'm just saying, aim yet. You have to have a mindset to suffer. Look at what it says. In 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh. So what should you do? Arm yourselves also with the same mind. Why? For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so that he no longer should live the rest of his time for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. See that? The will of God and the mindset to suffer, they are going together. Okay, a mindset to suffer. You cannot just go, as I want to go to IIT and then you want to sit at home and eat four times a day and sleep 16 hours. You will get 1 billion rank. Okay. What rank? 1 billion. Unbelievable. No? See, unfortunately what has happened, our MCET exam has become so useless now. Because there are so many seats and so few students. So what they do? They reduce the cutoff. So next time if you want to become an engineer, you just appear for the exam. Just appear. It's like our license, learning license. What should you do? Just appear. That fellow will do everything. So that fellow will do everything. Now our MCET exam is like that, no? Lowering the standards. Those days 70 was a cutoff mark. Many did not qualify, so they reduced it to 60. Many did not qualify, reduced it to 50. Many did not qualify, reduced to 40. Many did not qualify, 35. Not many qualified. So what did they do? Just appear. We can't. Just appear. We'll give you a seat. Huh? I told you, no? That guy who went to the interview and he was the son of the minister. They decided to give him the seat. I mean, to give him the job at any cost. They said, but we have to ask him one question. They said, we'll ask him the question. I mean, we'll ask him the spelling of coffee. Because as a South Indian, every day he drinks coffee. So at least he knows what coffee is. So he knows at least the spelling of coffee. Okay, they said, fine. But what if he doesn't know the spelling of coffee? They said, okay, no problem. Even if he had one single letter in coffee, if he can say, we'll give him the job. You see, we'll give him the job. So that guy comes. They ask him, sir, what? Fantastic, please welcome. What is the spelling of coffee? K-A-P-I. Kapi. And they're comparing notes. Sir, not even a single letter is being identified. You know, that is what it is. Nobody wants to suffer. They want to just get a job like just like that. No willingness to suffer. Like Pastor was saying yesterday, and I was laughing. He was using all my examples. He said, just pass. Another fellow will say 98. Man after my own heart. See, that competition has to be there. You're not competing with others. You're competing with that attitude, Baba. This is not there. It's not there. You know, when you go to universities abroad, there are three groups. The Chinky group, that's Chinese. The Desi group, that is the Indians. And the third group is the Iranians. So the first assignment that I submitted, okay, I got a 70. 70? No. I got a 70 because the professor added grace marks. Because the highest was a Chinese student who got a 95. And I, Desi fellow, another Malaya Tamilian guy next to me, and he said, what is going on here? No?
Then he said, how are this Chinese fellows getting a 9500 and all? Then he said, you know, that guy is a very smart fellow, no? He's a Tamil Brahmin. He's a Tambran, okay? So he went to the Chinese fellow and he said, hello. And then, you know, he started slowly moving along with him. And he said, finally discovered, and he came to me and he said, Macha, Macha, you know what is going on? Those fellows have an entire question paper bank. All the previous year's question papers and the solutions are there. And these Chinese fellows are reverse engineers. They cannot do anything. They only mug up and write the exam. They do not know anything. I said, oh, so what do? Somehow make him a friend, slowly get all his papers. So this is exactly what we did. We got all the papers, we did a photocopy, and next time we also mugged nonsense. So what did I get next mark, next exam? Not 95, 100. You got 95, you fellows, we are above you. You see, the mindset to suffer, Baba. You know how they study, Chinese fellows? They don't go to their home. In the lab, they get their brush, they get their towel, they get everything to the lab. I mean, they gave us a run for our money. We thought China, of course, Chaitanya Narayana was in India. They got the name from there. They got worse than Chaitanya Narayana over there. No? A mindset to suffer. You know why? Let me tell you something, my dear brothers and sisters. The next word is very, very, very powerful. This is what it says. Because we have spent enough of our past lifetime. Enough! I was talking to Brother Wesley the last week. We were discussing about certain things. He says, Vijay, so much of time was wasted in my life because I did not know about deliverance. Wasted. Ask yourself this question. Do you weep over your wasted years? Do you weep? Enough. Sorry. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Six things we have mentioned. Abominable idolatries. Hours before the television. What we have called binge watching. What is that binge watching? What is it, binge watching? They watch OTT platforms, season 1, season 2, season 3, season 4, season 5, season 6. Keep on watching, binge watching. So somebody used that word, sir. They said, Pastor, children are into binge watching these days. Then I was thinking and I said, Lord, now I will be into binge reading the Bible. Binge reading. Okay, I will replace binge watching with what? Binge reading. Binge. I'll tell you something. If you want to get supernatural strength into your life, supernatural strength, do that which pleases God. John's Gospel chapter 4. I told you, no? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Finish. You get what? Supernatural strength. You know why? Because your will is to do his will. Your will is to do his will. Supernatural strength. You keep on doing the will of God, it becomes, that is the reason, first time I went to Gideon's, the first question I asked them, is ministry punishment or nourishment? They looked at me, nobody asked them that question. Is it nourishment or is it punishment? It has to nourish you. Give you strength. Man shall not live by bread alone. How can you prove it? Eat too much of bread and come to Sunday morning service. 15 idlis and 25 dosas. Binge eating. Let us go on a 7-day fast. You know what happens? Then you will prove to yourself, man shall not live by bread alone. And you can also say very confidently. Otherwise, it will only be theory. Just my sentiment. I actually started yesterday, my fast. And pastor was like, he said, 7-day fast. I said, yeah, 7-day fast. 7-day fast for our church. All right. What do you, don't say, there are still 4 months. Don't postpone the will of God. He'll just pass you by. That is the reason why he says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Beware, brothers, lest any of you depart from the living God because of an evil heart of unbelief. Don't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So have a mindset to suffer and a willingness to pay the price. That is the reason why you should not love your life. If you can read for me, Acts 20:24. Somebody can read it, please. Acts 20:24. It's not there here. What does it say? I do not count my life dear to me. Why? If I only may finish my course and to finish the ministry that was entrusted into my life, into my hands. You see that? I do not count my life dear to me. That is the reason why he says, he who loves his life will lose it, but he who loves to do my will or loses his life for my will's sake will find it. And why did Jesus come? To give you what? Life, and life to the fullest in abundance. So have a mindset to suffer. 7th point, the last point before we end. Redeem your time and be filled with the Spirit. Redeem your time and be filled with the Spirit. This is important again. Because opportunities to know the will of God, to grow in the will of God, these are what redeem means. Redeem means what? Redeem your time means. Time is opportunity also. The word for time is kairos. Ephesians chapter 6. This is what it says. Ephesians chapter 6. See then that you walk. You see that? See then that you walk. How? Circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Okay. See that you walk circumspectly, meaning circumspect means be very careful and watchful about your walk. You know why? Because you make one wrong step. Like yesterday, the first question was a remarkable question. The person who sent that question said, you know, if I make a wrong step and there are so many consequences because of that, and I would have wasted so many opportunities in my life, that would have had domino effect in my subsequent, you know, in my subsequent choices. How do I come back? How do I come back? How do I come back? Be circumspect. Like today we heard, no? In the morning readings, Pastor sent, he says, you search out what the will of God is. Be diligent. Otherwise you will waste time. Be circumspect. Don't waste time on senseless talk. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Boy, how 6 months just finished. I mean, we are in the 6th month now. How 6 months got over just in a span of, I mean, I don't know, in a span of 15 seconds if I'm right. I mean, for me at least, you know, just flew past me. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand, because it takes time. You see, to understand God's will, you need to have some categories that have to be established in your mind. Read the word, spend time in prayer, spend time in understanding the word, and spend time in listening to the sermons, spend time in listening to the messages. Spend time. That's all that we have on this side of eternity. Time. But understand. So what happens? On the contrary, do not be drunk with wine. Whatever that wine is, that wastes time. Wine. Whatever gives you pleasure outside God, that is wine. So ultimately, how does wine, what does wine do? It bites you. The Bible says, do not look at wine when it is like red and very nice and it is smoothly flowing. Ultimately, it bites like a viper. When the beer is served, it is chilled. When you drink it, it is thrilled. You are thrilled. After that, you are billed. Then you drive on the road and you are killed. Chilled to killed. Wine. That wastes your life. This is wine of the 21st century. How much, you know, people have to just scroll, 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 scroll. Keep on scrolling, 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 scrolling. Binge scrolling. You cannot watch more than 30 seconds also nowadays. Immediately after 30 seconds, you need a fresh thing. Dopamine, the law of diminishing returns. In which is dissipation and waste, but be filled. How do we be filled with the Spirit? It gives us a clue. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing with psalms, with singing. Speaking to one another, edifying one another. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That is the reason why so much of song goes on. There's a song when we worship, there's a song when we, before the word. What is that? It's preparing the ground so that we have the faith to receive the word of God. Because when we receive the word of God by faith, the Bible says you are filled by the Spirit. You receive the word of God by faith. Immediately He baptizes you with a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Fresh infilling comes. Because you have a prepared heart. Prepared heart. Because the days are evil. Speaking to one another. Don't waste time into things which will take away your time. Especially this technology. I mean, unless and until you have come to a point wherein you can say no, you have that self-control. Because all things are profitable, but not all things are, sorry, all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but all things do not edify. All things are lawful, but I should not be controlled and I should not be dominated by anything. If it begins to dominate you, change it. Go back to a old phone with WhatsApp only. And then use MP3 players to listen to messages. MP3, don't even know what MP3 players, children don't even know what MP3 players are. You see how technology has changed? What is MP3, sir? MP3 players, once upon a time we used to have it. See, it has become ancient now. So, speaking to one, don't waste time. So, what do we do? Why do we need the Spirit? Because we need to have the power of the Holy Spirit to do the will of God. Philippians chapter 2, this is what it says. Philippians chapter 2, therefore my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. You see that? How pleasure and the will going together? But in order for that, what should you do? Be obedient when pastor is not watching, when your parents are not watching, when your supervisors are not watching. You be obedient in all circumstances. Much more. What should you do? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. See, this is both together, no? Somebody said, how do you work? He says, I work as if everything depends upon me and I pray as if everything depends upon God. Wow. I work as if everything depends upon me and I pray as if everything depends upon God. Both. It's a synergy of both. It's a synergy of both. You put your foot and say, Lord, take the first step. Let not God take the first step. You take the first step. God starts working in you to do His will for His good pleasure. So redeem your time and be filled with the Spirit. Ask God, Lord, this year, Lord, empower me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. More and more infilling of the Holy Spirit. So what do? Spend time in prayer. Spend time with the word. Receive the word by faith. Listen to sermons and receive the word by faith. And even as you receive the word by faith, God keeps on adding faith. Keeps on filling you with the Spirit. And you start practicing it. And you enjoy the will of God in your lives. So, seven things this morning. Can we all recap? What is the will of God? Can you define it? That which gives God pleasure. So what do we have to do? Submit. Don't just profess. Don't just say. Second, have gratitude. Work on gratitude. It's just not compulsion. Love and loyalty. Because I'm family. Delight. And that's your duty. Pursue God. Pursue His will. Increase in the knowledge of His will. Have a mindset to suffer and a willingness to pay the price. In order to do that, redeem your time and be filled with your spirit. What happens? You will discern the will of God. So will of God, God is speaking, but you have to discern. In order for that, you have to prepare yourself, not God. God is already always prepared. You should be like Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. You know what happens? The word of God comes to Samuel. What a statement. The Bible says, Samuel was established as a prophet in Israel, and from Dan until Beersheba, he was a prophet, and not one word that came out of his mouth fell to the ground. You know why? Because he was a person who had that ear. Say, Lord, speak, Lord, your servant hears. So this morning, we have entered into the 17th year. Lord, make my will your will. Let my will be your will. What pleases you, let it please me. Let that be our prayer this morning. Shall we all stand up in the presence of the Lord this morning, everybody? One of the definite revealed wills of God. Okay? In your heart and with your mouth. Pray first. Thank God for His salvation. Thank God for the gift of the church. Thank God for the gift of the ministers who bring the word. Thank God for God's family. Thank God for all these resources that He has given to us, this place that He has given to us, so that we can come every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, the favor that we have with the sisters over here. Thank God for that. Don't stop thanking. And when you start thanking God, you know what happens? It becomes delight. It will not be a dreary exercise anymore. Have gratitude in your hearts. Let never ingratitude come into your heart. Just that entitlement mentality. Say, Lord, I hate it in me. I do not want to have that entitlement mentality. Thank God for your parents. Children, thank God for your parents. Just thank God this morning. This morning, just open your mouth and give thanks to God. Just open your mouth. Everybody, let's give thanks to God this morning. Thank God. Thank Him. Just thank Him. Let it be an exercise this morning. Just say, you owe a million thanks to God anyway. You can't repay Him off anyway this morning. Just thank Him this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation. Thank you, Father, for the gift of repentance. Thank you, Father, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your family, the church. Thank you, Father, for the gift of ministers who bring the word. Thank you, Father, for the gift of eldership. Thank you, Father, for godly parents. Thank you, Father, for godly children. Thank you, Father, for godly brothers who edify, who strengthen, who exhort. Thank you, Father, for loyal brothers and sisters who have stood close to us all in all these years. Thank you. 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 Just thank Him this morning, saints. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. It's a fruit of the lips giving thanks, which pleases Him with such sacrifice, as the Bible says. God is pleased. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That is one thing that Jesus always did. He thanked His Father. He doesn't have to do it, but He always thanked. And He says, thank you, Lord, that you always hear me. He took the bread, and after He had given thanks, the Bible says He broke it. This was His lifestyle of thanksgiving. John's Gospel chapter 6 says, where the Lord offered the bread and He multiplied bread, where He has given thanks, that's what the Bible says. Let us be thankful. That is what having grace means. Grace in our hearts. Gratitude this morning. A million thanks to God. We owe Him. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father, this morning. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us in our lives. Thank you, Father, for all the brothers and sisters you have added into our church in all these years, who have edified us, who have exhorted us, who have encouraged us, who supported us. Lord, who were there at the right time. We just want to thank you. We just want to thank you for the gift of men people who were in authority who came and helped us. Oh Lord, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you. We just want to thank you for our pastor. We just want to thank you for his family. We just want to thank you. We just want to thank you. We just want to thank you this morning, oh Lord, because you said one from a tribe, two from a nation, I will gather you and I will bring you to myself and I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and wisdom. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We worship you this morning. We want to thank you, Father, for godly parents. We want to thank you, Father, for godly children. We want to thank you, Father, for godly brothers and sisters who encourage, who edify, who support. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for the gift of this place. Thank you, Father, for the nuns that with whom we have favor. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for our landlords. Thank you, Father, for everyone whom you have allowed into our lives who have come at the right moment, in the right time to help us to change our destiny. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We worship you, Lord, this morning. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We just want to thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your spirit. We want to thank you, Father, for the ministry, O Lord, that happens in our church and the ministry that has happened in all the parts of this world. Thank you, Father, that we are a sending church, that we have sent our pastor. We thank you, Father, for the mission field. We thank you, Father, for the fruit that we see in the mission field. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for GDC Jamshedpur. We thank you, Father, for GDC Ranchi. We want to thank you, Father, for the brothers and sisters who have shared the burden, who have planted churches. We want to thank you. We want to thank you. We want to thank you. We want to thank you this morning, O Lord. We want to thank you, Jesus. Lord, let not ingratitude ever, ever creep into our hearts. Let us recognize it, O Lord Jesus, and let us always be thankful. We worship you, Father, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, even as we heard the word, I pray, Lord Jesus, we will just not profess, we will submit. Lord, pour out your spirit of submission, O Lord. Pour out your spirit of submission, like the way you poured out your spirit upon your son, and he delighted in the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It was his delight, O Lord, just not counsel, just not wisdom, just not knowledge, just not the power of God, but the spirit of the fear of God. Lord, grant it this morning, O Lord, to your church this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We worship you, Lord. And even as we go about into, even as we have already entered into our 17th year, and even as we go about this year, we do not know what the future holds. But Lord, we look with expectancy in our hearts, O Lord. And every plan and a purpose that you have for us in our lives, in this year, O Lord, we will find it. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we will fulfill it, O Lord Jesus. To that end, we pray, Lord, that you would incline our heart. Lord, create in us that inclination and the desire to love you, to please you, to Lord, to honor you, and to have the desire to put a smile on your face. That which gives you pleasure, O Lord, let it give us pleasure as well. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We give you glory. We thank you once again for this day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen. 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 God bless you.